My name is David Patterson, aka Davy P. And my story is called I Knock People's Teeth Out. I grew up in southern Ontario, Canada, where the portables are plentiful. If you don't know what a portable is, imagine a public school that's devolved into a trailer park. Multiple movable, i.e. portable, classrooms operating in 24 by 40 foot yellow metal boxes, adjacent to the main campus. Typically, they house the older kids. Public school stretches to the 8th grade back home, and I began cohabitating one with my classmates in the 4th grade, after years of easy access to the toilets and sinks. Portables don't offer indoor plumbing, it should be noted. That is relevant for my story. It was an era of prime time Patterson. I had a girlfriend, straight A's, a presence in school sports, and a litany of literary feats behind me. What lay ahead of me on one particularly chilly, precipitation-laden autumn morning was the advent of my formative years as an unwitting pugilist. As the aforementioned restrooms lay a solid 1.5 minute sprint into the main building, it was oftentimes the pee parade, as my teacher, Miss Diosi, so eloquently called it. That morning, in an applicable moment of pathetic fallacy, it was my turn to hit the john. So off I went, under drizzly skies, blissfully unaware of my physical surroundings and uncharacteristically aware of Broadway show tunes. I stepped out into the weather, threw my hands into the air, and shouted at the top of my lungs, "I'm singing in the rain!" My then-girlfriend Jennifer had stepped out the door behind me, and my left hand landed an inadvertent uppercut into her brand-new front teeth. Ensconced as I was in my signature song moment, I have no memory of the impact, despite the physical evidence of an incisor-sized imprint on my pointer finger knuckle. I went about my urination in my usual manner and re-entered the portable to a frenzied scene, a sobbing Jennifer, ice pack pressed to her face, flanked by an enraged teacher. "What did you do?" she uttered through her own clenched teeth, maintaining a safe distance from my unpredictable limbs. Jennifer was not so fortunate, as a gap now existed where one was not before. A chipped tooth and a look of anguished bewilderment, she didn't meet my confused gaze. She also didn't break up with me. Women are strange. I offered what condolences I could, still uncertain that I was the culprit of this unprovoked moment of wanton violence. I wouldn't have purposefully hit Jen. Maybe the ghost of Fred Astaire had something to do with this. No discipline followed, and my parents were made aware only after the situation was fully explained. They said nothing to me on the subject. I remembered making a mental note to tell the classroom the following day that the only musical I had seen at that point in my life was Cats. And I love Cats. And there's no punching in Cats. Fast forward to the 7th grade, now living in a rural town well north of Lake Ontario called Lindsay, attending a senior school, where only the strongest 7th and 8th graders survive. My next victim, Martin, was unfortunately not one of them. Martin was a shy kid, somewhat of a class clown, and clearly dirt poor. His hair bounced along behind him in a business in front, party in back mullet of notable proportions. His homemade bangs trimmed crookedly across a freckled brow. He spoke infrequently and teased occasionally, definitely relegated to the lesser crowd in the burgeoning caste system of social structure predicated by pubescent types. He wore the same thing nearly every day, a Joe Montana-esque number 16 football jersey over top of a gray undershirt with blue jeans greened by unscrubbable grass stains, high tops from the local department store, definitely handed down from an older sibling whose identity and whereabouts, to this day, remain anonymous and unknown. His one good friend, another nerdy type named Michael, made mention of dinners at Martin's house, which never deviated from hot dogs and Kraft mac and cheese. At the time, that sounded idyllic to me. What was less than ideal was our school's post-gym locker room. As a bunch of boys whose hormones were evolving, we all required deodorant after particularly sweaty incursions into athletics. The rich boys, of which I was not, despite my parents' insistence that I appeared properly equipped, were usually harassed into sharing their pit stick, and various deodorants were passed around accordingly. I often thought the constant contact with shared armpits defeated the entire purpose, but I said nothing and offered mine all the same, never suffering any subsequent rash, and generally receiving the good-natured appreciation of my perspirant peers. Boys, it seems, are also very strange. One day, however, the hand around of deodorant lasted a particularly long time, and eventually, the only two residents of the locker room were Martin and myself. Packing away my pit stick and hurriedly dressing for our next class, I noticed an overwhelming thirst. Martin, however, was occupying the water fountain. I approached and waited patiently behind him as the bell rang for social studies. Eventually, Martin pulled away from the fountain, but then quickly slid back in front of me, jovially making me even later for our next educational endeavor. "Get out of here," I said with a laugh, and gave him a playful shove away from the fountain. Then I never saw Martin again. A few days later, I was summoned to the vice principal's office. Mr. Ingram sat me down patiently and inquired, "Did you hit Martin in the locker room, David?" "No, sir. Well, I don't think so." Fate transgressed. It was explained that Martin's mom believed a bully known as David Patterson threw Martin into a hand dryer, thereby knocking his front teeth clean from his gums and forever free from his face. It occurred to me that, directly adjacent to the water fountain, lurked a hand dryer at approximately head height for whatever inexplicable reason. I suppose to dry off our faces after slurping too much of the local tap water? One can never truly ascertain the motive for placement of such appliances. I explained that we were joking around and that no harm was intended to Martin. "She's very upset, David," Mr. Ingram continued. "She's considering pressing charges." I explained my confusion and remorse again in more muted tones. "Okay," said the VP casually. "I'll deal with it. Thank you and sorry for the bother." And I never heard a word of Martin ever again. Jennifer and I have become friends again as adults and have kept up from a distance. I suppose that makes my boxing career record 1 win and 1 loss with 1 KO. Nevertheless, I'd retroactively trade my career in the cause of inadvertent pain for a clean slate if I could.